This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. We continue our conversation with Atlanta's new Episcopal Bishop, Robert Wright, who was ordained earlier this fall. He's Atlanta's first African-American Episcopal Bishop. In part one of our conversation, Bishop Wright talked about the continuing battles within the Episcopal Church over issues like blessing same-sex couples. The bishop began part two of the conversation by saying, the church needs to move beyond a focus on issues like sexuality and start talking to the wider community about more fundamental things.
I have inherited a healthy diocese, and my predecessor did an amazing job at keeping the family together at the table. And so I must say there's not been a terrible amount of fallout here. And so the Diocese of Atlanta is in an exciting way ready and expectant about what are we going to be about next. In some ways, I discern that we've had the conversation to its full extent, and now we're ready for what's next. And so I think that leadership, any kind of leadership, certainly church leadership, is always going to have an element of controversy. It did in Jesus' days. It certainly does now. But I think now, perhaps more than ever, the field is ripe to get the good news out about that there's a life that can be lived that is all-encompassing and gracious and good. And so it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of focus. And those are the things I want to focus on.
Specifically, which issues are the most important to you?
Well, the issue of God is the most important for me. I think we've got to talk about God more. I think that, we've gotten sort of down in a sort of a secular wrangling over issue. And that's unfortunate. And our church conversations look a lot like our politically partisan conversations. But I think that we're the people of God, and we're called to talk about this God, and we're not talking about God enough. And I think when the church talks more about God, I think it's amazing how we find that we can be drawn together, not doctrine, not dogma, but about a loving, generous, wise, and gracious God. That's exciting, and about how that God directs our feet, invites us to enlarge our hearts and expand our minds. So it's a matter of priority and focus. And I think the Episcopal way of talking about God is something that is, I think, particularly is going to be interesting for young people because it doesn't invite them to sort of swallow a party line, if you will. It invites them to use their best thinking based on some of the thinking that's been done about what is meaning and what is life and what is love and those constituent parts of faith. And I think that the church really needs to be attentive to this, really needs to be responsive to this. We cannot continue to be the church for the 1940s and 50s. We've got to grow and to develop. And I think that's what the Spirit is calling the church to be.
That sounds a good bit like some of the themes that came out of the ecumenical movement in the 60s. This is the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council, which was a huge spur to that in the Catholic Church. Is the ecumenical movement, though, in trouble? Partly because of the controversies within each of these denominations, and partly because on many sides we're seeing sort of a retrenchment, whether it's in the Catholic Church or others.
Yes, exactly. I mean, where to begin? I think that young people and many people in the church in America have voted with their feet. They've said that the navel gazing and the partisanship is unacceptable, and so they've said no, thank you. And I think that we as the church have not said, you know, you're right to say no, thank you. And I think by their absence, they have recalled us to a reflection. And I think in the best way around the country, we're seeing some new fruit. We're seeing where interfaith conversations are actually deepening and enlarging. We're seeing where there's some increased emphasis on ecumenism and different denominations are finding ways to get together and to get some work done. And I think that's animating young people. I think that's exciting for them. I think it's also the way we understand truth. I mean, one of the things I like about the way that the Episcopal Church understands truth is it says that no denomination and no religion has, you know, the lion's share of the truth. The truth is something that is worked out as we go along. We have a bit, others have a bit, Islam has a bit, Judaism has a bit, other ways of being Christian have a bit. And I think it's a lifelong journey to find out what is truth. Even Jesus himself said, you know, I have sheep who are not of this fold, when the disciples tried to get a little too narrow. And I think Jesus is still saying that through this whole, through the Holy Spirit, that truth is big and deep and vast. And you've got to sort of know what has been revealed to you, but you don't have to do that to the exclusion of others.
Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So can you understand people who say, we may be able to pull things from other denominations, but we have to take a stand and say, this is the way that we find salvation?
Absolutely. Jesus did say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, or at least John remembered him saying that. The way I like to understand that is that the way of giving yourself fully to the divine is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's on that journey that we find life. Jesus had a unique divine consciousness, I like to say, and Martin King said that as well. And I think we who have met God through Jesus Christ have met God's mind and has met God's heart. And I think that people who have met God in different ways have a contribution to make to our faith. Our faith is richer. We can know Christ through our Jewish brothers better. We can know Christ through our Muslim brothers better. And they can know something of the divine through the way that we know Christ. And I don't think that we have to frame the conversation as over and against one another.
The Vatican over the last year or so has extended, I don't know if you could call it an invitation, there's some dispute about that, but simply saying if entire congregations of the Episcopal Church wish to move over to Catholicism because they're upset at the direction of the Episcopal Church, they would be welcome, including their clergy. Do you see that as a threat in any way, or do you feel that the Vatican is actively trying to recruit Episcopalians?
I don't see it as a threat personally. I see it as a matter of discernment. And I go upstream of any issue or confrontation. I think that if people discern that the best way for them to be in life, be on a journey with God, is in the Catholic Church, then I say go with your heart. Go where you think that the Spirit is calling you. And certainly a lot of people come through the Episcopal Church from other denominations as well. And certainly we say welcome home to you. I think people need to be in the place where their spirits and souls can thrive. And wherever that is, I wish them the very, very best.
But you don't see that as something that the Catholics are trying to do to the Episcopal Church?
I tend not to think in those terms. I tend not to be, you know, in a spiritual turf war with other denominations. I tend to look at it as discernment. I think if people are called to live out their life in different denominations and faiths, then I wish them the very best. The point is not denominationalism. The point is a thriving life with God.
On an issue specific to Georgia, there's a commission in the legislature that has been looking at decriminalizing traffic offenses, and the diocese said that that was an issue that was important to them. Is that important to you, number one, and why focus on decriminalizing traffic offenses?
Well, you know, as we read our scriptures, you know, it's clear that love of neighbor is important, and the diocese brought to the fore at our last meeting this notion of human dignity, especially around our Hispanic brothers and sisters who are inordinately being pulled over and targeted. And I think what we want to say as a diocese, what we in fact said through that resolution, is that we're watching and we're paying attention, and we want our Georgia legislature to be mindful that, you know, human dignity is important. And just because people are born in other places and perhaps don't have the same status as some of the rest of Georgians does not mean that they get to be treated in some sort of subhuman, crude, crass fashion. And so I think that's important. I think that the church has got to find its advocacy voice yet again. And certainly in Georgia, there are a number of issues for advocacy. Certainly it's our immigration issues, and certainly it's for our prison pipeline that we have here in Georgia. It's for some fair labor practices and some of our major industries in the state of Georgia. And so we're watching that, and we have something to say about that. And I like to think that we're in keeping with the prophetic tradition in Judaism, and certainly with Jesus's speaking truth to power.
The legislature may also take up a personhood amendment, as it's been called, a human life amendment, which basically says that life begins at conception. Does the diocese have a position on that, or do you personally have a position on that? Because certainly within the diocese, there are going to be a range of opinions on that.
Well, yeah, the diocese does have a range of opinions, and I have an opinion as a member of the diocese. Certainly, I think that honoring life at the very beginning, discerning life and calling it life, and valuing life, I think is certainly where I am. I also, at the same time, respect people's right to choose. Even Jesus himself respected people's right to choose. God himself gave us the ability to choose. I personally would hope that people would choose life, and if in some way they're not able to accommodate that life, that they would use our foster care system, our adoption system, et cetera. I don't know if that's a both and, but certainly as someone who was adopted personally and as someone who has adopted, I'm grateful in a profound way that people brought me to term. My mother, my biological mother, brought me to term and gave me the opportunity to live the life that I've lived. And so I'm thankful to God for that. I think also when we talk about dignity of life, we mustn't only care for those and be mindful of those who are yet unborn, but I think that ought to transfer into the way that we do the death penalty in Georgia. I think it seems logically inconsistent to value life at its beginnings but not value life at its ends. And so I would advocate that those legislators also be advocates for eliminating the death penalty in the state of Georgia.
Does that mean that you as bishop would take a position, let's say, against an amendment giving personhood to a fetus at conception?
I don't take an exception at that. But I just want us to be consistent. I want us to talk about personhood right through. I want us to also look at the way that the elderly are cared for. And do we also, does our system give them the amount of dignity that we think is worthy? Do we also look at our prisoners? The range. I think if a person is a person, if someone is a person and also happens to be an immigrant, are we treating them with the same kind of dignity? There's just some wonderful opportunities here to raise the bar throughout the state. And so if we're going to begin there, fine, but let's not end there.
So are you saying you would support it, oppose it, or just let it go?
I thought I said very clearly that I would support. I happen to be a person who understands life to begin at conception. I think if we want to call that that brand new life a person, I'm fine with that.
Atlanta's new Episcopal Bishop, Robert Wright. Bishop Wright, thank you so much for giving us this time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
One postscript to the conversation. The day after we recorded it, Don Plummer in the diocese office said the bishop had spoken to him and that Bishop Wright would expect each Episcopalian to make what he called a prayerful choice on the issue of a human life amendment.